Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So glad that y'all are here this morning. And just as we start a new year, I think we need to give glory to God for just the life that we have and what we have lived. I know that a lot of people take today and kind of the transition from 1 year to the next as opportunity to start something new or to renew themselves or whatever it might be. What we want to do today is just talk about how to live into what God's called us to. And so we're going to renew our covenant with Him. As He promises for us, the promises that He has for us are in Christ and that newness of life that we have in Him. I know it's a light crowd and there's some people watching online today that are still traveling, and we're so glad. But we're finishing up our idea, our topic of being faithful and how to live into that faithfulness. Just for the fact that you are participating really communicates your faithfulness. And so today I'm glad you're here, and we're going to, it's going to be not really quick, but it's going to be quick, all right? And but what the Lord's going to do is going to be lasting, and that's what I'm counting on for you and for me and for everybody watching. Let me pray for us. Lord God, as you are working among us today, Lord, I just want to thank you for that. Lord, I want to thank you for the season in our life and in the life of the church, how you are calling us to something greater than ourselves. You're calling us to be more like you. You're calling us for the transformation of our lives to help in the transformation of other lives. And so I pray today, Lord, that we would just know, Lord, your faithfulness in our lives, Lord, that we would know how we are working to be more like you. Lord, you're giving us the power to do that. It's not on our own strength, Lord. It's out of your strength inside of us. And so, Lord, let us just look to you today. Lord, let us look to the covenant that you made with Abraham in the Old Testament thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Lord, all the way to the new covenant in Christ that is alive and well today inside of us. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, all in the name of Christ, and all the people said, it's abundantly obvious to me, Lord, that you are worthy of all the praise. And I know it's abundantly obvious to you that we are really unaware of the magnitude of your worthiness. Lord, where I don't give you all the credit. I don't enthrone you as rightly as I should. But still yet, in this covenant that you have made with us, this new covenant of forgiveness and of redemption, where we are holy and blameless in your sight, Lord, you just keep calling us to yourself. And so, Lord, that's my prayer for us in 2023. Lord, for just our future, beyond the next 365 days, but for all the days of our lives, that we would hear your voice calling us. Lord, just as your scripture says, the voice calling in the wilderness of our lives, the wilderness of our lostness, Lord, in the wilderness of the world that sometimes just gets so loud and overwhelming. Lord, let that be it for us today as we journey forward into the future that you've called us to. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and as you do, Dallas had a wonderful prayer, and so I'm just going to pray for the offering today, and there's ways for you to give online. And I'm just really going to encourage you. I don't do this often, and if you're around me long enough, that I just trust that you're going to do what God's calling you to do in your giving. I've always made the assumption that you're listening to God when you're at, or that you ask God what you're supposed to do when it comes to your giving. And if you've never done that, we have a pledge cards, confirmation like about your giving cards around the building. They're yellow. And if you've never made a commitment to do that, I'm going to talk about it probably more than I ever have in ministry over the next year, because I really believe that's just a part of who we are in Christ. It's not about the budgets. It's not about paying the staff or anything else. I really believe, and I mean this not flippantly, I mean this faithfully and thankfully, that we will always have enough money to do that. What I want us to be involved in is what God's calling us to. And so I really encourage you to think about that. It's not about your relationship with me or the church. It's about your relationship with the Lord. And it really is a part of who we are in Christ. And I probably neglected that a little bit in holding you accountable to that. And so we're going to try to start doing that a little bit. Father, as we come to this time of our offering to you, Lord, we may have never even given it a second thought because the person next to it is taken care of. The person next to it is taken care of. The family behind us or in front of us. Lord, we may not think that we have enough money to rub two nickels together, but Lord, yet you keep providing those two nickels. Lord, I pray that we would see what you're calling us to. And Lord, that you'd give us the strength and the faith to reach out and to step out and to do that which you've called us to. Lord, not to pay salaries or to keep lights on, not to do anything physically, but Lord, for just the relationship that we have with you and how you will use our resources to grow your kingdom and how you will use your resources to further provide for us in our daily lives. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. So this morning, I want to, two things. I really am not going to belabor this at all because some of you are not even aware. And some of you, secondly, made a funny here. Not only are you not aware, some of you just don't care, okay? I'm a poet and didn't even know it. And today is the first day for you that know kind of what's going on within the denomination of the church. Today's the first day of us belonging to the Global Methodist Church, so no longer belonging to the United Methodist Church. If you have any questions about that, come see me. It's going to be a seamless transition as it already is, and you may just be really unaware of any of that. And I'm really thankful for that because I don't want any of that to ever get in the way of what we're doing for the Lord and what Christ is calling us to. I'm trusting that it's going to be seamless for me as your pastor, and I believe that it is. I'm counting on a paycheck in a couple of weeks. Hallelujah. That when I go to the doctor next time, I still have medical insurance and all those things. But for the church, it really is, I believe, that we have made a really giant, faithful step in just following Christ and being who God's called us to be. And I really believe, and I mean this so sincerely, that 99% of you may not even have a clue of what I'm talking about. That is because, and I mean this, is that your church, your ministers, and I mean, when I say your ministers, I mean Dallas and Ashley and me and Andy and everybody that's on staff, we've always been doing this, and it's never been a question for us. And so we've just made that commitment always. So enough about that. But in saying that, here's what part of why we do that, part of why we have gone to left the United Methodist Church is because of this covenant I'm about to talk to you about. And super short explanation, there's a really greater and longer explanation in Scripture, but for us, just for us to know that this covenant that God has made with us through His Son Jesus Christ is for His faithfulness to allow us to be forgiven and for us to have redemption, for us to be able to come closer to Him and to be like Him, for us to live in the image of God and of Christ and to be in the world but not of the world. That's what all of this is about. That's why we gather together. That's why we are called Christians, is because of the initiation that God had to say, I want a relationship with you. I want to do everything I can in all of creation for us to be together for all of eternity. And not just, it's a whole sermon series last summer, not just for eternity, but for now. I mean, this is about today. And I know some of the things we talk about seem so long-term that maybe it doesn't affect us today, but it really does, okay? And so our daily living in Christ matters. The way Jesus lived his life really mattered, and it really, I'm going to use the word lifestyle, but not in a way that's unfaithful or not in a way that's not spiritual, not in a way that's not spirit-filled and powerful, okay? Not just a lifestyle about the house you live in or the car you drive or the clothes you wear or any of that, but the lifestyle of how you live every day, every waking moment in Christ, and no matter what you're doing, because the way Jesus lived, he was showing people time and time and time again how to live. How to live in power and authority. And that's the way I want us to live, because that's the only way that's going to change anything. Not just your life, but everybody's life. And so in that, what they started calling, after Jesus was crucified and after he had risen from the grave and after he ascended into heaven and when the disciples were out doing the things God had called them to do to spread the word, to spread the good news, right, is... They got themselves a name, okay? How many of you in your own lives, when someone introduces you to someone else, it's quite possible that they already know who you are because you've made a name for yourself, right? Just trust me, okay? So somebody, where Robin works at an orthodontist office, somebody will come in and they'll bring their kids in and they'll ask her when they hear the name Wolfington. It's not a very common name. There's three of us in Lubbock, Texas, and in West Texas, okay? And so they'll say, oh, are you Matt Wolfington's wife? And they'll go, I'm not sure. Why do you ask? Right? And so, I mean, you may not think you've made a name for yourself, but you have. And what name is it that is out there? What have you portrayed? Because the way Jesus had made a name for himself and for the disciples in the movement of the new covenant that we're about to partake in is the fact that they were called. Jesus said, he said, I know you've heard of all these other things, and I know you know who God is, and I know that you've practiced all of this faith, you've faithfully practiced this way of life for generations upon generations upon generations. Since Adam and Eve, right, all the way. But now then, I'm gonna talk to you about a new way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the way. They got a name for themselves, and people started calling them the people of the way. Now, that's really cool to me, and I really love that, and I want to be a part of that. No matter what anybody else thinks about it, it's a positive for us. It was a negative for the people that were accusing them of the way, because they were talking about this new way, right? This new idea, this new way of living life. And so they were saying that the people of the way, okay, all through throughout Scripture, especially in Acts, they were being accused of this new way. They're like, Paul was of the way, and the apostles were of the way, and all these other names, these people, when they were trying to track them down, basically. And even when Paul was persecuting people, when he was trying to kill the Christians, he was looking for people of the way. I want to be that person. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as a radical believer of Jesus Christ. I mean this so sincerely, not some crazy wackadoodle radical of Jesus Christ, but a crazy radical lover and believer of Jesus Christ. You can, let's go cuckoo over Cocoa Puffs, right? I want to go cuckoo over Jesus. I want people to know that we love Jesus, and I want people to know that we are going to follow Jesus. I want people to know that what is in here is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. This is the standard by which we live, and we believe it so much that it changes how we look, how we live, how we act, how we talk, how we love on people, how we offer correction to people, how we hold people accountable, how we raise our kids, how we live in marriage, how we do business, how we talk to our neighbors, how we do church, how we worship, and how we give. All of that is just radically different than the world. And so today we're gonna talk about a covenant. We're gonna actually participate in a covenant, and this idea of a covenant is a promise. And God initiated the covenant. We didn't do anything other than disobey Him and try to get away with whatever we wanted to on our own. But yet God kept saying, I want to be in a relationship with you. And so for going forward, it just happens that it's New Year's weekend, okay? It's New Year's Day, and we get to think about it in that context. If that helps you, great. I don't want you to make this your New Year's resolution, because that means you're going to break it in 3 weeks if you make it that far, okay? I don't want you to do it that way. I want this to be something radically different in your life, radically different in my life, in that we hold each other accountable to it, that when you see me not living up to it, that you come and talk to me. And then when I see you not living up to it, I come and talk to you, or I come and give you advice and help and pointers and direction, and you do the same for me. Because this has been going on for generations upon generations, renewing a covenant, right? Some couples do it in their marriage when they hit milestones of anniversaries, 10, 20, 25, 30, 50 years. Some people do it for just lots of different reasons. Okay, and so for us, I want us to do it for the Lord. I want us to do it for our relationship with Him, and not, boy. I mean, it's going to seem so traditional. And we're actually, I know this is going to shock you. You're going to get a handout. I mean, a piece of paper, and we're going to read this together, and we're gonna take it to heart. And for some of you, this is going to feel like a warm bath. You're going to love holding something in your hand. You're going to love the whole room doing a prayer together, because that's how you grew up. For some of you, you're already going, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible, because we're going to do something that sounds like it's so traditional, and it's so liturgical, and it's so high church. No, I just want you to be able to take it home and have this. And so maybe one of you will look back over this in the next year and go, am I doing this? Am I living up to this? And if I'm not, Lord, forgive me and teach me how. I have to do this. This is more for me maybe than it is for you. And so this idea of covenant, I believe it's important to be reminded of who we are. I believe this is part of the reason that God calls us to gather once a week. I don't care if it's Sunday morning. Some of you that are watching online, or maybe it sounds crazy for me to say, but they may not even ever hear this statement, but I'll see them this week in another setting, in another Bible study, or in another small group, or at breakfast, or wherever, okay? But we still gather together. Why? Because we need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged, as the Word says, over and over and over again about who we are in Christ. And so I need a couple of people, if you'll come get these and pass these out. Anybody and everybody, there you go. There's way too many there, but that's okay. So in God's original covenant with Abraham, He said, be faithful and be blameless before Him, and He will multiply His family upon generations and upon generations, and He will create and expand the kingdom of Abraham, which means the kingdom of God, by really by him multiplying his family, by having more kids and grandkids and cousins and aunts and uncles, and go on and on and on. And then he was also going to remain blameless because he needed to continue the sacrifice. He needed to continue sacrificing animals before God, and the blood that was shed from the animals brought forgiveness and restoration and redemption to the people. And then Jesus came. God sent Jesus to do that for all of us once and for all, to be that sacrifice for our sins, to fulfill the covenant that we couldn't ever do ourselves. God said, I'm going to do for you once and for all. Forget the animal sacrifices. All you need to do is believe upon the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, for the reconciliation to God, and for the redemption that he had in store for us. And so when you read this, I'm going to read it aloud. You just read along with me, or you can read aloud if you want to. But I want you to hear this as the fulfillment of God's promise to us, and us doing our part of being in the promise. Let me say that again. As you read this, or as you hear this, or as you speak it out loud, I want you to hear the promise of God in the prayer, but I want you to also realize what your part of the promise is. In any covenant, there are two parts, and both parties have to do their part in order for the covenant to be successful, in order for the covenant to do what it has it intended to do. God will always be faithful. And the fact is, he's given us the strength. You just sang about the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what you need to be faithful. That's what you need. And when you fall short, when you fail, when you do it intentionally or unintentionally, then you ask for forgiveness. You ask the Lord to pick you up and to move on. Don't wallow in the mistake. Don't wallow in the sinfulness. Don't get caught in the temptation of staying in the temptation. Get out of it and move on. And so I believe it's important for us to renew ourselves with him with joy and sincerity today with this covenant. So here's what I'd like for us to do is, again, you can read along. Obviously, if you want to say it out loud with me, you can. And take it home and just live into this each and every day, okay? I just told somebody just a little while ago, don't give yourself a grade on your faithfulness. Don't do that. Because you know what it is to be a Christian. You don't get a 70 or an 80 or a 30 or a 85 or a 90. You don't get an A plus or an A minus or a B or a C. You know why? Because it's pass-fail. It's a pass-fail test. It's a pass-fail requirement. And believing in the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you take that to heart, it's a solid pass. Always. It's not a fail. It's always going to be a pass from that point forward. And so let's live into that today. Listen to this. This is John Wesley wrote a prayer long time ago, generations ago, and this is just a modification of that prayer. And so as you read it, you may be familiar with part of it. Okay? And so it says, our Lord and our God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me now as I come before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness when I have not done your will. By turning against your will, I have turned my love towards the world. Please forgive me. And if you're watching online, I'm sorry, you can text the word notes to that phone number and you'll get this prayer as well. And then there's this thankfulness. Thank you for your promise of mercy if I turn to you with my whole heart. Now, some of us are going to say, well, I don't always do it with my whole heart. I know, we need to just keep going, and we need to keep trying, and we need to keep working towards it until the day that all of our hearts will be turned towards Jesus. Today, show me the idols in my life so that I may renounce them, covenanting again with you that I will not commit any known sin. That's a hard prayer. Show me where my idols are, Lord, so I can get rid of those, so I can stop idolizing the things in my life that get in the way of you. In your power, I will watch for any temptation that will lead me away from you. Before all heaven and earth, I acknowledge you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as my God, my Savior, and my help. I vow to give all of myself to be your servant and to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. I've talked to you for years and years and years about you being holy and you being righteous, because you are, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I here and now accept you as the only new and living way. I join myself in covenant with you. I come to you and I accept you as my Lord. I renounce all my own unworthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Jesus, I here and now make this covenant with you and accept whatever comes in life. Through your grace, I will accept the promise that neither life nor death will separate me from you, and I will strive for you. I here and now willingly take on your word, which I proclaim and accept as the truth, just, good, and holy. I will strive to order my life, my whole life, around your direction. God, I strive to make this covenant today in sincerity, without deceit or reluctance. If you find anything false in me, guide me and help me to set it right. And now, glory to you, God the Father. Glory be to you, God the Son. You have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my Savior and my Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God, the Holy Spirit. By your almighty power, you have turned my heart from sin to God. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my comforter and guide. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you now become my covenant friend. And I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. You are mine, and I am yours. So be it. May this covenant I have made here on earth be confirmed in heaven. And all the people said, amen. There's a lot there. And some of it is really scary to Matt Wolfington. When I say, search me, show me where I need to change and how I need to change. Give me the power to change. Give me the power to walk away from temptations. Because you know as well as I do, I'm just going to really confess and be honest with you, I like some of those temptations. Amen? Oh, yeah, I'm the only sinner in the room. I get it. I mean, it's a hard prayer. And I know it's a hard prayer because this is the commitment that God has made to us, and he's asking us to be on the other side of the commitment to make our faithfulness to him be known, to show him that we want to be part of the covenant. And so as you pray that, as you think about those things, we're going to take communion as one of our first faithful acts of the new year. And so as you come forward, okay, know that you're not worthy on your own to partake of the holiness of God. It's only by his grace, his love for you, his covenant with you, his new covenant. Because in Matthew, we read Matthew 26, he says this. He says, I know that, once again, you've known all these things. He said, but these right here, right, this is my body which is broken for you. They'd never heard that before. And you've heard it hundreds of times. Because all they knew, and just think about this. They were at the Passover. They were in the middle of the Passover season. They were sacrificing animals left and right. Even that very day, they may have been in a place in the temple where animals are being sacrificed. And here Jesus is that evening saying, this is my body which is broken for you. So hard and so confusing for them to start thinking about. Just like it might be for you today in praying that prayer. And then he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. All through the Passover, they'd been hearing this talk of the sacrifice. They'd been hearing all the things that they had grown up with. And now here's something new and different. Radically new. Just a minute ago, I said, hey, if you've never given anything to God before out of your finances, maybe try it. That might be something radically new and different. Might be something radically new and different for you to say, okay, I've been falling into this temptation in my life over and over and over again, and maybe something radically new and different to say, I'm going to try something totally new to try not to do that. I'm going to be a totally different parent. I'm going to be a totally different spouse. I'm going to be a totally different Christian in the world. When I go back to work on Tuesday, people are going to go, who are you and what have you done with, put your name in there. Because I don't know you. And you can say, because I'm going to be different from this day forward. Because Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, as we take these today, Lord, let us just know that we are not always going to live up to what you've called us to do. We are not always going to live up to being who you've called us to be. Lord, I know that there have been many, many times I have failed you as just Matt, as Pastor Matt, as husband Matt, as dad Matt, as friend Matt, as neighbor Matt. Lord, I have just failed over and over and over again, yet you just embrace me and you tell me how pleased you are with me and to keep going, to keep striving, not to be a better person, but just to keep doing what you've called me to do. Let it be so for all of us that are hearing these words today, to know that we are forgiven, we are redeemed, that there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. In the new covenant, there is no condemnation. But there is joy. There is peace. There is power. Lord, I want to live into that each and every day. So let it be so for all of us. In the name of Christ. And all the people say, last thing before we go, one of the opportunities that we're going to make available to everyone just about how to live into this new relationship on January the 14th at 10 to 11:30 that morning. It's on a Saturday. There's going to be an opportunity. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but it sounds so simple, but some of us just don't know how to do it, to learn how to journal about your prayers and the answers to your prayers and how to turn that into words on paper so you can continue to go back to those and live those out in your life. So on January the 14th from 10 to 11:30 a.m., that's going to happen here. Everybody's welcome. Okay, we're bringing somebody in to do that. And so that's a great opportunity and a great ministry opportunity for you to participate. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, what next? How do we move forward in life? We just keep following you. We look to you for our answers, to be our guide. Lord, we try new things in you. It might be this journaling opportunity. It might be the year-long opportunity to read Scripture and to learn. Whatever it might be, Lord, let us hear your calling on our lives. Lord, let us live it out. Let us not ignore it. Let us be new and different for you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. All in the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Amen. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for being online.